Choo-choo, motherfucker!
All aboard the hype train!
Choo-choo, motherfucker!
And we're live for episode 7 of the Hype Train podcast with me, your host, Magna Zan. Got a very exciting episode for you today. We've got the beardy face Jacko back. Hello, Jacko.
Hi.
Are you feeling a bit special today, Jacko?
I'm always a bit special.
Yeah, this is true. You're one of those special people I know.
Yep.
And we've also got a special guest, but not on the same special that you are, Jacko. We've got none other than the director himself, the head honcho, the boss man of
Mixmaster.
McMaster.
Mixmaster.
Mixmaster? Or is he McMaster?
Maybe Mixmaster.
All right. Anyway, the director of Road Across New Zealand, self-titled, Matt Wellington.
Hello, how you doing, Matt? Good, thanks. What an intro.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're the first real guest. You know, I call Jacko and Steve FPV guests, but they're not really guests anymore. They've been on more than once, so it's good to have you on. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for making the time.
Yeah, no problem.
So just for those who don't know who you are, and I can't imagine there's many people that don't know who you are, but just give a quick intro to yourself, who you are, your background, and how you got into, I guess, the drone scene and Road Across itself.
I've been sort of flying toy airplanes for about 8 years now, but sort of got into FPV back in 2014. Jonathan Shorer actually asked me to host the January Matter event back in 2015.
And that was the original one, right?
Yeah, it was before Road Across, but that was the first ever organised race meeting. And Road Across, I think we formed that about 6 days later.
Sweet.
Jacko actually named it, so.
Jacko named it Road Across?
Yep.
Wasn't that stolen from the US? Didn't they call it Road Across first?
I think we called it, and then we're like, hey, those guys have the same name as us.
True.
Yeah.
And then that guy in Tokoroa stole it.
Your mate in Tokoroa. You're the beauty face mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twins.
You essentially started Road Across and that was, what, over a year ago now?
It was, 2 years.
About a year? 2 years.
Yep, been going 2 years now.
2 years? Yeah, it's two yep. years, isn't it? Been that long. Jeez. So what the first track that you guys had at Matter, just explain, if you can, just what that was like for the first one.
Yeah.
Well, I won it. That's enough of an explanation.
So there's obviously no poles. Because we know you love the pole.
We cleared the field of rocks, poles.
It was excellent.
It's beautiful, yeah. Matt. It's beautiful.
No rocks, no trees.
just recap the technology as well.
Yeah, the track was like a kidney bean shape. We had two fly-unders and about four flags. And the gear was pretty much the same. It was all running like 1,000 kilowatt VTXs trying to drown each other out.
Yeah,
but and we all had tiny little 18-06 motors, I think.
No, I had 2204s, mate. That's probably why I won.
Oh, yeah, I reckon. That was my trick for the first season of Road Across. Just run way more powerful gear than everybody else.
And Gareth Evans still managed to hit everything.
Oh yeah, I mean that's powerful. But yeah, his quad was 90% hot glue, so it didn't really matter.
That's true.
Hot glue and PLA. That was what his machine was made of. He claimed it was carbon fiber, but pretty certain it was PLA and hot glue.
It's a composite, mate. Composite.
Composite. So after that event, once Road Across was kind of formed, the first real race was what, Hamilton?
Yeah, the first one was Hamilton. That was, I think, early March, wasn't it?
No, it was earlier than that, I think. I've still got videos on my YouTube page.
I think it was. It was March.
Is that the one you had a mare at, Ian?
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. Like I went full titty, knowing it was coming up. So I went out and got cobras and NAS 32 with clean flight on it and all this, and an MXP frame. It was like, oh, this is a full titty.
That's right, the G10.
Yeah, the G10, bro. 6mm arms, yo. It was the first race, absolutely crushed it, won the first race ever of rotocross, like legitimate rotocross. And then after that, mate, crushed it.
It was legitimate before you turned up, Sunshine.
And then at the time, I was using a Spectrum DX9 because I was into helis at the time, so you know that was the radio to have. But for the quads, I had no idea what I was really doing, and I was running an Orange RX, the old 610, I think it was, and it was absolute crap. I would get to the furthest corner of the track, so after the first race, I would get to the furthest corner of the track, and it would fall out of the sky every single time. So pretty much I think I managed to move down towards the end of the track, and I was able to kind of move my body around as I was going around the track to try and follow the signal. So I was able to get a few races out, but yeah, I think that was the first race that Steve FPV won overall for the day.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many pilots did we have at that? I think
that was 20 odd, wasn't it?
Yeah, was it like 12 and 3s and 9 4s?
Yeah, no, it was a fair few pilots. It was a fair few pilots. We were there the whole day.
And that for the time
was not an easy track. That was like a ridiculously hard track for the time.
It was a good track though, because it had the up and over thing, eh?
Yeah, we had it up and over. We had a tunnel through the middle. I'll post the YouTube link to it in my in the show notes. But yeah, it's well worth looking at, because if you consider at the time we were running, what, 12 AMPSCs, we were only just discovering Beale Heli at that point.
What do you mean at the time? I'm still running 12 AMPSCs.
All right. There was no, I think we were, was the bullnose props out then? I can't even remember if there was bullnose props out then. I think it was still...
I think it was pre-bullnose.
Pre-bullnose, it was like 50-30s, 50-40s maybe. Gem fans. We had the Cobras were added, the 2300 Cobras.
Yeah, that was the latest hype, and they were fucking amazeballs.
Nah, well, they weren't, this year, because the 1960s were the hype at the time, because people were like, oh, these are legitimate 4S motors, I can run these on 4S. But then we found out later that you could just run 2300s on 4S and just obliterate 1960s. But at the time, the quads didn't fly particularly well, as you'll see in the video. But the track had an up and over section. It had a decent sized slalom, a good power section, and three or four gates, four or five gates. I can't quite remember
either. I remember the under over was made out of a gazebo. Mm.
It was awesome.
We had hobby hangers flags for the slalom.
Yep. That was a great track.
That was when I decided that running this stuff was cat herding.
Yes.
And oh man, getting all those guys to actually turn up to a race, every 5 minutes was impossible.
Yeah, with the shit all organised and VTXs on the right channel. And...
Oh, yeah. VTXs. God. That was the worst.
Yeah.
I think I stabbed
four people there.
The next race meeting was worse.
Which one was the next one after that? I can't remember.
The next one was the one that all the partners of the pilots loved me for, because I organised it on Mother's Day. That was
the North Shore. Was that the North Shore one?
Yep, that was North Shore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We had more pilots. We had everybody complaining about video issues at the start. We had guys who didn't know how to actually change channel.
That's right.
And it took a while to get through. So I'm there with 22 pilots all looking at me, waiting for an answer.
I mean, pretty much, there wouldn't be any rotocross racing without you. For the first season, it was. Yeah. I think you were at almost 90% of the races, 99% of the races.
Yeah,
I think there was only a few that you didn't really go to.
There's one that AJ Christensen did. The one that Macca did up in the far north.
Yeah, two. Yeah. And there was, what, 7 events or something like that? Or 9 events that year?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Yeah, I think I did 6.
That was awesome.
But yeah, back then at that North Shore one, I thought I had to split my job up into three people.
It was hectic, and you know, I helped organise the setup of the track and whatnot for some of these events, and even that was painful. So I can't imagine what it was like running the event.
Yeah, no, that was good because everyone was there the day before. You know, with you setting up the track. And then even on the day we had was it John's partner?
Chloe. Yep, that one.
Kelly and Gareth's partner, I think, so they're helping out with some bits and pieces. And I think you were doing some screwdriving, so yeah, it was a big team effort.
Yeah, I mean, it worked well. And I think the events for that season caused massive amounts of hype. And I think that was kind of the catalyst for getting the majority of people into it, I think.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because we as in New Zealand, were, and Rotocross specifically, was at the time, was the biggest race series in the world?
Yeah, because we started in our summer, and so the Northern Hemisphere was still in winter and they hadn't actually started. Like, we were before MultiGP.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of people don't realise that. They just see MultiGP in the US money pits that they're over there now.
Mm.
But we were the biggest and the first. Yeah. Yay! All right. So that's Matt introed and a bit of history. So let's talk about what we've been up to since, I guess, the last podcast. Jacko, do you want to go first?
Oh, I can do that, mate. I can do that for you.
Yeah. Your Uber driving going well?
No, I can't Uber driver. So it's hard.
No, we cover.
Yeah. I've started working in a coal mine though, digging coal.
Don't you work down the Hadley's way now?
I work for whoever will pay me money.
Sweet. Hooker.
Yeah, pretty much.
Male gigolo.
Yep. What have I been doing? I've been building wings. It's a change, true. Eh? It's a change. I've been building wings. Built some wings. Got the TBRC order. We didn't have that last podcast, did we?
No. We mentioned it, but you didn't have it at the time.
Yeah, got them Apexes, the little race wing. They are pretty legit. Yeah. I'm giving them 4.7 out of 5 star legitness rating.
Have you flown it, though?
No, I haven't had a chance to finish building it.
Oh, mate, that's just maximum hype points there, then.
Well,
You can't give it hype points without actually trying it.
Mate, when you've flown as many wings as I have...
Now, you see, that's the John Keller scale right there. That's the...
I've done a course.
Science
I've done a course, mate, on wings. Oh, and these look pretty legit. For 60 yep. US bucks, legit as.
Yeah, true.
I'm just going to change the rules, though, so then they're outlawed.
Yep.
Next.
So is that all you've been doing? You've just been doing wings?
Wings. I'm going to start the NZFP. Yeah, I've made your wing.
Yeah, I mean, he keeps saying that he's just going to crush me at this thing. But so I was going away for Christmas, so I asked Jacko nicely if he could laminate my wing, my Hitman that Alex Houston had cut for me whilst I was away. In part because I was printing Jacko a motormat, and we'll print him some more as well as required. So whilst I'm on holiday, I see some pictures of Jacko's wings that he's been laminating. And mine is on there, including the fish and the troll face. So I was like, oh, that's pretty sweet. I almost don't want to fly it because it is too cool. I might just bring it along to show people, like, check this shit out. That is super cool. I'm actually looking forward. I've got one of those S800s as well.
Oh, yes, anyway.
Yeah. Are you done with what you've been doing?
Yeah. Well, we did racing, but we can talk about racing later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. It's on the notes there.
Yeah.
Man, we're organised here.
I can have a hard luck story.
Ooh. Who's there? Put the phone on mute?
That's my phone ringing, mate.
Oh. The only people that are calling you at this time are dodgy people.
It's my sister.
I've heard you're dodgy.
Yeah, well... This is a kid's show, mate. It's a kid's show.
All right. Okay. All right. So what have I been up to? Well, the HD3s arrived.
Did they?
They did.
You liking them?
And they're, well,
you liking them?
I am. I love the DVR on them. I can't say much about the optics at the moment because they're a batch one and they've got blurry edges.
Awesome.
So hey, you know what's
just as good? A V2 with a new DVR on it. It doesn't have blurry optics.
The new V2?
No, the old V2. Oh, Dom V2s with a new DVR, mate. Same thing.
True.
Same thing. Right. Same goggles.
Sweet. Should have just got some of those, shouldn't I?
Should have just got some of those. Send them back, mate. Just say, hook us up with some Dom V2s, gangster.
So anyway, really liking them. But they're on the way back to Australia for a change in optics. I've spoken to people that have them fixed, and they are apparently awesome. And I really like them. I do actually generally think they're an upgrade over the Attitudes.
Yeah.
But until I can get the optics sorted, I will reserve judgment. But everything else seems to be working fine on it.
Fat Shark suck. We are desperate for a decent goggle manufacturer to come and just destroy Fat Shark. It'd be so easy. Like, they are horrendous at quality control.
Well, like, I'll strike them off the sponsor list.
Yeah.
I mean, Skyzone, mate. Has Skyzone got a new set of goggles in it?
Yeah, but they're probably junk.
Yeah. See, I really like the original Skyzones, and then they went and messed them up.
I brought the Dom V2s when they first came out as well, and mine went back to Aussie to get repaired by that dude in Aussie twice. And my base SDs, which I had before that, went back to Aussie to get repaired twice for manufacturing defects.
Really?
Yeah. The quality control on them sucks balls.
Well, it's probably just a sticker, isn't it?
Probably is, yeah.
Just like, oh, yeah, quality control sticker, yeah, I'll sign that. Sweet. Off
the dude in Aussie is good, though, eh? For goodness
Patrick.
Name. Patrick, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he. I posted on Twitter because I messaged Banggood straight away and said, look, there's a batch one, need to get them sorted. I haven't heard back from Banggood, but I messaged Fat Chalk on Twitter. Immediately came back and said, look, I'm on holiday right now, but contact support. Sounds like they're most likely batch one. We'll get them sorted for you. So, and then I contacted Patrick. Well, I contacted support. Patrick came back and said, yep, send them over. Here's your RMA number. We'll get that fixed for you. So that's good. And it's only a couple of days to get over there, and it's relatively cheap to send it via mail. So hopefully Enzo Post don't lose the package like they do seem to every time I send something.
It's the way back, usually they get lost. Aussie Post sucks balls. They nearly suck as much as Fat Shark.
Well, we'll run the risk. What else have I got? I've got the Rambo Whoop. So my upgraded Rambo Whoop is still going awesome. Been using it over Christmas. So for those that don't know the Rambo Whoop, go and have a look at the Quad Junkie website, quadjunkie.co.nz. They've got all you need. Basically, it is it's a tiny whoop. It's a Blade and Duck Tricks, which is no longer a Blade and Duck Tricks. It's pretty much just a plastic frame of a Blade and Duck Tricks left. It's upgraded motors, upgraded props, upgraded flight controllers. It runs an F3 board, and it's an SPI gyro, so it runs at 8 kilohertz. Runs at 32 kilohertz on the motors, and it just rips along. But with all this wind we've been having, I've been trying to fly it outside, and it's been absolutely pants. It just basically just gets blown around. So what I have built, which some of you may have seen, is a 3D printed frame from Thingiverse, which takes the 1103 motors, which are super cute and super tiny. You don't realize how tiny these things are until you see them in person, but it's slightly bigger than a tiny whoop. It takes 55mm props, and it's fully brushless with an
I'm gonna have to interrupt you there, mate.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard anyone describe motors as cute before.
No, these are very cute.
Yeah.
Got a problem with
that? No, we'll keep going. Continue.
All right. You'll think of a witty retort.
Without getting myself locked up.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, this thing's super tiny. It runs the the same camera VTX combo as a Tiny Whoop, so the little TX-03, which, I tell you what, the new TX-03, the Eosheen combination one, have you seen those? You know what I'm talking about, right?
No idea.
You know the camera on your Tiny Whoop?
Yeah.
And it has the integrated VTX?
Yeah.
Well, the Eosheen, which is a brand, there's a newer version called a TX-03, which now outputs on 25 milliwatt, 50 milliwatt, and 200 milliwatt. But I put it on 200 milliwatt, not 200, I put it on 50 milliwatt, and was able to fly pretty much everywhere on just a standard antenna. It was incredibly awesome.
Is the camera any better? Because like the Tiny Whoop camera is a bit of a potato.
This one's actually really good. It's still fisheye-ish, but it seems like you're going a million miles an hour, but you're only going walking pace. But that's
fine. It's GoPro SuperView styles.
Yes. Oh, probably a little bit more extreme than that. I've got some DVR actually. No, there's plenty of DVR you can see, but yeah, it just seems like you're getting way faster than you actually are. But yeah, I built this little thing just for buzzing around the garden, really, in a bit of wind. So I'm just waiting on the props at the moment because I bought these DYS 2030 props, and they were shit ass.
Over square props, mate. 2030 props. That's cool.
Yeah.
Over square.
They've vibed so much. So apparently there's a molding issue with them. I think it's the counterclockwise props, one of the props is significantly heavier than the other two. And basically this thing was vibing so much, it unsoldered itself. It broke the little wires from the motors because they're only like three strands. So I haven't been able to fly. So I'm waiting on decent props. So that's that one. Been using the TBS race tracker. You guys seen that?
The little single person little beast.
Freaking awesome. So good. There's if you've got an Android phone, there's a TBS app for it, which allows it to run standalone, and you can do modify a few bits and pieces that you can't do in the drone squad app. But we had I think six of them at the race on the weekend. And basically it's just talking, you set up your bubble, your VTX bubble, by calibrating it. It's basically like a gate in a bit's width away from the tracker, and it picks it up every time. But as you go through, it calls your lap and it calls your time, so you don't have to keep calling it your name.
That would be badass. That's what is missing from Wings Racing specifically, knowing how fast you're going and then being able to like judge it on the next lap and the next lap. That'd be amazeballs.
We use that on Saturday for the time trial stuff in Inglewood, one of those. It picked up Paul, who had 600 milliwatts really easily, and then having to recalibrate it to the other guys who were on 200 milliwatts was the only issue.
Why is somebody using 600 milliwatts?
Well, because it's a non-normal event. It's just a local event.
Banned. Should be banned. Disqualified. Banned. 200 milliwatts, banned. We've been running 25 milliwatts. We had seven people going.
Yeah.
On 25 milliwatts with unifiers and triumphs.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, right?
We had six wings up at the Nats, all flying.
200 milliwatts.
Legal, mate. RSM legal.
I know. That's good. I think, for rotocross events, you have to keep it legit for the RSM stuff. But when you're just doing these little sneaky races. Obviously we weren't fully legit, if RSM are listening. Probably not. Not that popular.
They're probably not listening.
Nah.
Fell asleep.
But anyway. The point is though, we're behind trees, we're flying in relatively close proximity to everyone, and it's fine. What we have found is that as long as you've got the decent antennas and the decent VTXs, all is well.
The true test is going to be Levin.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is the wooded area. That will be.
We've been flying in wooded areas though, and it's fine as long as you've got your ground station in the right place, because we're all running ground stations as well. Well, 99% of us are, with the pepper boxes and just a normal Omni, and it's absolutely fine. As long as you're pointing in the right place, generally it's absolutely fine. So I think we just need to figure out where people need to sit at Levin. It's probably going to be up on the bank.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to have to move people away. Because Jonathan's talking about cutting a clearing, so you're going to go in the forest, then halfway through, blast out through the canopy and onto the field.
Yeah, we tried to do that last time, but it just was too tight. So I know he was going to take a chainsaw to it or a hacksaw or something before we left last time.
Who else does that for us? Hey, cut through the forest.
I wonder if his wife realizes. just cutting down that forest, love. Your garden. Yeah. Sorry, it's got to go.
he is super hardcore. The dedication that guy has for that Levin event is awesome. And it's such a good event, though.
It's awesome, though.
You're having the combination of the open field and the super tight tree area.
And the water trap.
Yeah, the water. Yeah, everyone loves the water trap. I still haven't been into that yet, luckily. I know a lot of people have.
A lot have.
But yeah, it is what it is, I guess. And I've also been printing. So just on the TBS Race Tracker, there's a couple of things that you should probably do. One is an antenna upgrade, so you can pop the case off, and you can connect a standard Free Sky antenna to it and have it hop out the top, and you get like mad range on Bluetooth then, like 30 meters.
I couldn't see where to plug that in, though. I'll pop one off.
The other antenna is. So you unplug the old antenna and you plug this in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a UFL, same as what? Is it UFL? Whatever the unifiers run.
Oh, right.
Same type of thing. Yeah, okay. One of those. Pop it at the top and it runs for miles. Because there was I think one of the batches had a faulty antenna. And they, with the later batches, they give you two antennas. And I think the second antenna that they give, the spare one, is the upgraded antenna.
Oh, right. You know, I was looking for like a spare socket and didn't see one.
No. You take the old one off, put this one out, just rage it through the top where the there's like a little tie area which you can rage it through.
Yeah, because that was the only issue on the weekend, is I had to sit relatively close to the tablet to pick it up.
Hmm.
You know.
So. Now this is mine. We're sitting like, I had mine about 25 meters away. As long as your phone is upright. As well, because I think that's where the antenna is on your phone. You can't have that line on the floor because it's not going to pick anything up. You have to have your phone upright as well, and then it will pick it up from, you know, 25, 30 meters away, generally without issue.
Right. Yeah, no, I'll give that a go.
With the TBS app, it also allows you to do the offline logging. So even if you start it and do the flyover start, so you fly over the tracker and it picks it up, and then it records offline, then you just can sync it to your phone if you are out of range.
Oh, nice.
Did you see that demo of the full-fledged race tracker that where a Trappy and I've forgotten the guy's name. The guy who does all the thinking for Trappy.
No, I've not. I've heard about it and I've seen the pricing.
They got all the multi-GP stuff. Like, he literally downloaded the whole race from multi-GP and it went onto the tracker. Bang. Done. It knows who everyone is and what their frequencies are.
Meanage.
Amazeballs.
Yeah, that's what we need for the big events.
Yeah. Matt's job has just been replaced by an app.
Oh. It makes it way easier, though. Oh. It just makes it so much easier. And then all you've got to worry about is getting the person on the line.
Yeah, yeah. And abusing them for
that. Hang on, that's 9/10 of the job, though.
That's true.
Yeah. But I mean, it would make it a lot easier, and also it means that you can start running the qualifiers and practice sessions and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So from because I mean that's one of the things that I didn't like about this current season that's just gone, is the format of the races, the most laps.
Well, we've only done that for two rounds. The last two rounds have been practice, qualifying, and elimination.
Mm. Yeah, they were brutal, mate. Brutal. Mm.
Elimination is brutal, absolutely.
Brutal.
Love it.
Brutal. I was crying. The inside.
We had broken dreams, left, right, and centre. Yeah. Jacko was, I finished my race. I said, it doesn't matter, you're out.
I came first. No.
Splash.
Oh, we'll get on to that in a second. We've got two more things. Just on the TBS Race Tracker still, I'm printing... the protectors, TPU protectors. So if people want to grab one of those from me, they're print to order, and all the proceeds from those go towards the processing for this podcast. And if we get enough of them sold, then we're going to move it to a proper hosting so we can start doing proper stuff with it. A bit more legit.
Put me down for one of those. I'll grab one.
All right. Have you got a race tracker?
Yeah, that's what I used on the weekend.
Sweet. All right.
I actually forgot I bought it. I got it back in November.
I've got the other one, the Airbirds one as well. I need to get rid of. Similar sort of thing, but the Airbirds one works with the FPV IO Sports, which is actually quite nice. So it integrates automatically with it, kind of like what the full race tracker does, but you can have single units of them. But the range sucks on it. That's the problem. So it does offline logging, but the range sucks. So that's up for sale at the moment. So I've been using race pods on quads at the moment, the TPU pods. Somebody's created a really cool one for the cheaper Banggood frame, the X210 QAVX cloney thing. So I've been using those, and I found that the TPU pods don't add anything for aerodynamics or anything, as far as I can tell. I haven't done a course on it, so I wouldn't know. But what they do is they seem to, when you do crash, nothing seems to happen to the quad because it's quite spongy. So you're not breaking carbon and mounts and all sorts of stuff. It just bounces and break a prop and away you go.
Nice. Have you printed one in green yet?
No. Ooh. I haven't got green, actually. I haven't got green. I've only got blue and red and clear. but the clear comes out white, and I was told it looks a bit like jizz. So, yeah.
Don't want that.
But the red and blue looks really good. I've got, again, some pictures I'll put on the show notes. And the last thing I want to talk about quickly for hype-wise is the new Emax motors. The 2205 2600 SRS, whatever they are, the new ones. Absolutely monster powerhouses on any prop, pretty much. I've been running them on the 5050 ones, and they're just monster. Like, compared to my ZMX 2600s, they just obliterate them. However,
question.
Did you see Scott Taylor's video?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Scott Taylor's been shearing them off, and so has Sean as well, Dynamo. So I'm a little bit concerned, but to be fair, I don't crash as hard or as much as they do, so I'm hoping they'll last.
I've got a question for you, mate. Yep. I've been running a whole bunch of numbers for the Spec Wings racing shit, trying to find the ultimate motor. Have you tried a Tiger F42 2600?
I've not, but I've heard they're beasts.
From the numbers, they monster everything by like 20%. Like, just destroy even those new Emaxes by the numbers. Yeah. That's like working it out properly with the IR and all the...
Yeah, but I mean, if we're talking quads, that's a little bit different than talking your planes.
Well, no, it's the same thing, mate. It just makes RPM from power.
True. I keep forgetting that, eh?
Yeah. If they put the prod up, it's point forwards, it's the same thing.
Right.
It makes torque, yep, which spins the prop. But okay. In theory, they just amazing. But I haven't actually tried one yet, so I don't have any real numbers.
Well, isn't Timmy G supposed to be sponsored by T-Motor?
I don't know if he's got that same motor.
He's got the F60s.
Yeah, he's got the big ones.
Mm.
But those are monsters. Those are monster big.
But if he's sponsored by T-Motor, surely he'd be able to get a T40 or whatever they are, F40?
F40.
I think I saw Gary Kent was talking about the F40s. Just as FPV from the UK, and he was saying that they absolutely rip balls. Mm. But to be fair, how much more ripping of balls do you need? I'm still not maxing out my 2600s on the tracks we're running over here. And from the races that you've been to recently, Matt and Chris, have you seen anybody other than the Taupo? I think they're probably at full throttle for some of that.
Yeah, more on Taupo track, I was at full throttle.
Oh, is that for wings, though, Chris?
For wings, yeah.
Yeah. Taupo, we had one straight on the quads. We could go full throttle. Matter if she was tight enough that the guys who did go full throttle overshot the corners.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't. We're still not running power. You know, like just full on power tracks.
Mm.
But otherwise, yeah. Okay. I mean, if you're running full throttle, how long till you melt your battery?
Well, that's it. I mean, they're not going to last very long. And even the 2600s that I'm currently running, if I run full throttle, they'll be done in like a minute.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can get around a track in a minute.
No, no.
So, I mean, you have to kind of balance it off, I guess.
Yeah. You also, with the new format, you need to make sure you've got enough power for a restart.
Oh.
Because if you don't all make the first gate in the eliminations, we restart you. You ain't got time to change batteries.
Oh, yeah, but that's easy enough. So. Are you not allowed to change batteries?
No, you probably are, but I'd be looking at you really annoyed because you're taking up time.
Because they did that at Worlds when they only did the whole shot though in the finals races.
Yeah, that's we always come down to the wire. That's when we were doing it too.
Oh, okay.
And Wang Steve FPV did a race and then just flew around circling waiting for this next one to start.
Oh, jeez. All right. So whilst we're talking about it, let's talk about the MFNZ and the RX Nets. What was it? Because it was two events, wasn't there? There was a MFNZ one.
It was a normal rotocross round for 4S and 3S, and then we did a Model Fly New Zealand Championship as a separate event, and then on day two we did Wings for rotocross.
So how many people were across? Were there the same people on both events, or was there a mixture?
We had pretty much the same people for 3S and 4S. I think Steve FPV was the only person who didn't run 3S. Oh, and Ian. All the rest ran both. And then for the Model Fly in New Zealand, we had a few less people.
Mm. Are you going to continue doing that, the 3S and 4S? Entering both?
I would like to just have one class next year.
One class in total.
For like the serious stuff. Because the series and 4S, I mean, people end up both to get more flight time. Yeah, races. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you could run all day long with one class. So. Mm.
That's gonna affect the finishing positions of Scott Taylor, though, isn't it?
How's that?
Well, he can't finish a race in 4S.
He did well on 3S in the Model Fly New Zealand.
Oh, right? Yeah, he crushes it at 3S. Yeah.
Awesome thing was the two different tracks that we ran. Greg Ralston designed them. And they were two very different tracks and two very challenging tracks. It was really well done.
Two different tracks for 3S and 4S? Or
Yeah, Model Fly New Zealand had a different track.
Right.
It was very tight and compact.
Cool.
Because Model Fly New Zealand, we ran open class.
Okay. All right. Is there any plans to like merge the two?
What, Model Fly New Zealand and motocross?
Yeah.
Model Fly New Zealand is Model Fly New Zealand, which we're all a part of. But motocross is sort of like a league. And I just sort of see it as a separate thing. It needs some more thinking about.
I mean, one of the questions, because I asked for listener questions, and one of them was, one of them was, because your name is Matt Wellington, does that mean you're from Wellington? That was one of the questions.
That's a good question, mate.
Well, technically, yes, because my dad's last name was Wellington.
So he's from Wellington. I'm
from Wellington.
Right.
I'm not from the town Wellington. No.
Not the Wellington. All right. No.
Was your father?
Hey.
Was your father?
No.
Was your father from Wellington?
Just his last name was Wellington. So I'm from Wellington, aren't I?
What about his
father?
Hey. There has to be some sort of connection there.
No. My father was from Truro in UK. So there you go.
Which is not near Wellington in the UK.
No.
Because I'm from Wellington in the UK.
Oh, right.
But my name isn't Wellington. So.
It causes confusion.
All right.
Maggie Wellington.
The second question was from, and I'm going to butcher his name here, Mike Lamarquand.
Oh, yeah, with Tommy?
Yeah. I don't know whether that's correct the second bit, but anyway. Or is it Le Moqua? I don't know.
Le Moqua.
Le Moqua. That'll do. Where do you see Road Across NZ in 1 year's time? And specifically the format, the race timing, and the classes? And is there a plan to have more chapters as the sport grows?
Yeah, that's a very good, very interesting question. In a year's time, I'd like it to be a lot further along than it is now. This last season has been a difficult one. So in a year's time, I'd hopefully see us a bit bigger. Definitely like more chapters, but the ones that we have now, we're not seeing a whole lot of grassroots racing happening.
Auckland.
Well,
hey, no, Auckland. No. It's not RX branded.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of racing going on in Auckland at the moment. The Flight Club guys are just absolutely crushing it. Specifically, Gareth.
Yeah, I had a really good chat to Gareth at Matter.
He's a good man, that fella. Good man.
He's a solid guy.
But one thing he said to me is he said he's going to have to stop racing and concentrate on organising events. And that's the problem with any chapter, is for it to happen, you need someone who doesn't worry so much about the racing.
And that was one of the reasons I stopped kind of helping after the first season, because I saw the amount of work to put on an event was actually impacting the quad stuff. Because you have to, it's not just the event for the day. There's months and weeks of planning, especially for a big event. It's just, it's insane.
Yeah, well, a good example, like the Nats we just had, I had 30 hours into that before the event, I'm just organising them. And then everybody changes their mind last minute. But So next year, what I'd like to see next year is I'd like to see the Road Across League host big events only, like five or six or whatever it is around the country. And I want to see, and the people should be turning up to that, already proven, already doing grassroots racing where they've learnt the ropes. I don't think Road Across should be where people come and learn the ropes at a big event.
Yeah, I agree.
That was my vision in 2015. Mm. I thought people would just turn up race ready, and they weren't. But that's because there was no grassroots happening.
It was all new. It was all still relatively new. You still got people even now that getting into the sport. There's no way they're gonna turn up to a road across event. They'd just be. No. Yeah, there was a comment I saw on Facebook from I forget who it was, but they said is there going to be a rookie or novice racing? What's going to happen with that with road across? And it's just not feasible for, and it's not fair either to expect yourself and anybody else really to put on these national events and cover absolutely every single type of race format. I think the road across national events, the ones that you are doing specifically, should be the big the big events where we get the best pilots, and that it's a showcase for the sport where people it's going to inspire people to do the grassroots stuff and practice and want to go to these events eventually.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what I want to do this year, though, is I want myself to focus on getting these smaller clubs actually up and running, doing the grassroots. So if that means, if it's supporting over the phone, supporting over the net, or actually driving there, like I have done, and run a couple of races for them. Because until that happens, the rest can't happen.
Yep.
So that's my plans this season.
Mm-hmm. And what about wings? Is it, obviously we're talking drones and stuff here, but is that for wings as well?
I don't know. Jacko, what do you think? I mean, wings seems to be taking off by itself pretty good.
Yeah, I reckon it will just be just like mini quads, I think. Yeah. Early days.
I think wings is basically 2015 mini quads, isn't it?
Yeah. It'll progress, I think.
Yeah.
Awesome. And what about things like format and race timing? Any plans on those?
Yeah, well, we've got the Te Papa event coming up, and there's some money involved with that. So hopefully we'll get a TBS racetrack after that.
This is Road Across's first money.
Mm.
Is it? It is.
Yep. So it's a great segue. So the Te Papa event. Just for the listeners that don't know what that is, just explain what's going on there. Yeah, that's quite exciting.
So what's happening is Te Papa approached us to host a race there as part of their Bug Lab. I think that is their exhibition they've got at the moment. So it's taken a while sort of to get it all finalised over the line, but we're holding an outside race meeting for them. It's an evening event. It goes from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Got 16 pilots with the qualifying and winner takes all format. But yeah, that's super excited to have us there. We put up some money to give to Rotocross for doing the event. And I think there's some prizes and bits and pieces as well, but just sort of finalising the details over this next week. We've got pretty much every top pilot who could make it is coming. Most of the world's guys. It's going to be really awesome.
Yeah, I'm super pumped for this. After doing numerous, other shows, like, you know, a CRC Speed Show and some other bits and pieces around the place, it's actually finally nice to be invited along to something where we are getting some, some showtime money for it, and for the pilots especially. It means that, you know, there's some real incentive to put on your best show for an event. So yeah. I'm super pumped for it.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we can't cover the pilot's costs at the moment, but at least it's something.
I mean, absolutely. I think it's gotten big enough now that we don't need to rely on doing free events all over the place.
I think what from after going on from Department sets sort of the standard from what we're going to expect to turn up. I mean, we had, I don't know how many people asking us last year to turn up and race for them. I think we'll go with the Department model. Yeah, that we need to get out of it for our time.
It just makes it more interesting for people to watch it as well. Because that's half of the problem is that we can go along to these events, but for a lot of the time, unless it's set up for us, or if we've got some sort of some spectator help so that they can view the sport and understand what's going on, it's kind of irrelevant that, you know, they just see these black things buzzing around.
Exactly.
So, yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, Te Papa, they've got the big screen, same as CRC here. All the pilot feeds up on that. And the other really big thing with it is we're getting it down to where we can run a complete race in 2 to 3 hours, like a full elimination format where you've got some excitement and stuff. And that's the sort of thing that we can now sort of promote to Sky TV and some of the other digital media. And actually, like, do an event with them. You know, they need something exciting. What we've done up to now isn't that exciting.
Do we have an MC at all?
No.
MC would be awesome to get, eh?
Yeah. So somebody that knows what they're talking about.
Even if they don't know what they're talking about and can gibber good gibberish.
Oh, sorry. Rotocross don't. Te Papa apparently do have an MC. They'll be doing interviews and talks. We've also got a bar for drinking alcohol and a DJ playing music.
Awesome. Sweet.
We're going to have a live metal band, but they're overseas at the moment.
Ooh, nice. if we can sneak a person into the MC booth and chit chat to the announcer whilst it's going on, that'd be awesome.
Well, I think we need to sneak Timmy, Stefan, Scott, and yourself in there, actually. What I've seen. That's what I loved at Taupo. We had Scott Taylor going around with the camera quite a bit.
Yeah, he does some awesome videos, right?
And then him and Steve Knapp teaming up, and then Timmy G running off with the camera. That sort of stuff. I wish I had that at every event. You know.
Yeah, it is good. And it just especially for people, you know, that are watching that aren't at the event. Because I had no idea what was going on down there, so to see the goings on, it's always nice to watch that. And you can only watch so much racing before it gets kind of samey.
Exactly. I'd love some Chris Ballard style live stream.
That'd be quite cool. I could probably do something like that down in Te Papa whilst we're down there.
That would be cool, because I mean, I love that. Like, when you guys were in Hawaii, being able to sort of chat to Chris, he'd go chat to you guys, and that was just, you know, that was invaluable, right?
Well, I think Anna will be down there. I don't know whether she'll be keen for doing that. Possibly, but at least people would like to look at her. So it's always that. Silence. Too far? That's a phone call from an Aussie Freako right now. Anyway, so Te Papa, when's that happening? Did you tell us when that's happening?
Yeah, no, I didn't tell you. That's the 11th of February. So I'm getting some concession tickets, hopefully, for the pilot's family and stuff. Otherwise, it's about $30 to get in. But yeah, 11th of February, it's happening. We're going to meet up at the Wellington Model Air. At the Wellington Model Airfield, we'll meet up and sort of check through some technical stuff and then cruise on down to Te Papa. So.
Awesome. Now it's going to be pretty cool. It's quite a tight track as well, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why we had to be really careful with who we selected to fly there. it's tighter. We've had to make sure we take all the power out of some of the turns as they're heading towards public. Yeah, so it's going to be a safe event, but we had to really be careful.
Yeah. So it might be a selection of different props to take
then. I would, yeah. You're going to need very good height control. And also the other thing, if we didn't have more Fly New Zealand involved, we wouldn't have got this over the line. Because without their liability insurance, this would never have happened.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, so a lot of people don't realise that, do they? That these events that you put on for Rotocross National are covered by Model Fly New Zealand's liability insurance.
Oh yeah, the we're covered for third party damage by their liability, and then the race organizer, if it's me, is covered by their indemnity insurance.
Yeah,
because that's the other thing. You're wearing a lot in Te Papa, being New Zealand's national museum, are very risk averse.
Yeah, totally. You don't want to be diving into stuff.
Yeah,
people.
So.
Just one other question I have for Rotocross next season. Obviously, to get it bigger and better going forward, there needs to be some sort of funding involved. So, are you actively looking to companies to fund, or increasing the pricing for the bigger events, or what are your options there? What have you been looking at?
I need to give that a lot more thought. I mean, it's not something that I'm good at. Probably more from. I mean, it'll be good to get sponsors on board, but I think the pilots themselves need to pay probably a little bit more than we have been charging. I mean, yes. This last season, the format that I set up hasn't worked, and I deliberately set it up so Rotocross wasn't making any money; it was going to whoever was hosting the event, and because I mean that was the model I thought was going to work, and I screwed it up. It hasn't worked.
Yeah, it's tricky. Eh? Like sponsorship would be cool, but you don't want to be sellouts either. It'd be a tricky one.
Well, yeah, a lot of it would just be flag banners and all that kind of stuff. But then, along comes with that media and media coverage. But I don't know. I don't fully know how all the sponsorship deals work. But I do know that they've. Well, I think the events are too cheap. Way too cheap. Yeah, because what was Levin last year? It was like. $10 a day or something stupid.
For the bigger events, there has to be more.
Yeah. It should be, if you're going to do one class, it should be like $50 to $100 for the weekend.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd have no problem paying $100 to go race at an event like Levin because it's heaps of fun.
It's awesome. And the hospitality there, the facilities, and, Jonathan goes out his way. He's... Do you actually know how much Tommy spends? Because I would guess that he spends all year preparing for the thing.
Crap loads.
Yeah. He normally starts a month out from it, like working properly on it. So yeah, no, he spends far too much time. Once again, I hope everyone realises that it was Jonathan who asked me to run that first event. So if it wasn't for Jonathan, I would never have run that event back in January. We would never have had the discussion to start Rotocross. Yeah. So, I mean, it was July 2014. Jonathan asked me to host an event in January.
Yeah, okay. So he's like the silent guy in the background, just whispering in your ear.
Yep.
No, he's good sorts. I like Jonathan. All right. So I don't really have much else to talk about, I think.
Matter. Should we do the racing? We haven't actually talked about the racing yet. How brutal it was. And how fast everyone was. Okay.
Yeah, go on then. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Probably Matt's department. Matt did all the mini quad stuff. I had to look after baby Friday, so I couldn't make the mini quad stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Quick run down on Matamata. We had old rules on the VTXs, so we ran the crap that we've always run. By contrast, like Taupo, six in the air at a time, not a problem. Matamata had issues. I had to drop back to four people in the air at a time, which meant I had to reshuffle every single race.
That sounds fun.
Because of crap, yeah, just shit gear. The racing itself, well, once we got that sorted, was good. We did two practice rounds, three qualifiers. The lower qualifiers, we essentially already said, like, that's your first out. So we can go into double elimination. They lost one more race, they were out. But we saw a couple, I think it might have been Steve, actually, who dropped right down to the bottom of qualifying and then fought his way right back up into the finals, you know. Watching the double elimination working was awesome. You could afford to make a mistake, but you could afford to make one mistake, you know, and then you had to battle your way back up. The day went too long. The elimination format took too long. We didn't get finished till 6:30 at night.
So with the double elimination, was it the top two that progressed from each race?
The top two, yeah. And if we had three in a race and we had some uneven numbers, it was still the top half, which is the top two, progressed through.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, that works.
Yeah. So it's quite good. You can actually just set up a slot for six people, and then if you put five, then the top three go through, you know?
I see. Okay, because, yeah, in Hawaii, it was eight people in a race, and only the top two went through.
Oh, no, we were doing half, basically half.
Or was it half? No, it might have been half, actually.
Yeah, we did half.
I might be doing something else.
The other thing I did find out, though, is even if we can get six in the air at once, it's impossible to count them. Four is doable when it's me counting or someone else counting, but six, you just lose track. So
lap timers.
Exactly, without lap timers.
That's where the racetrack... We ran the racetrackers this weekend, and we all ran them.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to count lap. Oh. I mean, for the most part, everybody crashed before the end of the race, but for those that did finish, it was like lap one, lap two, you know, giving you times. Awesome. And you were able to tell where the other person was on the racetrack as well, so it was actually quite good from that point of view.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Mm. And then after we finished the race at 6:30, we went and had tea, reset the course again, and night flew until, I don't know, 10. We had fairy lights on the ground, we had car headlights on the track, we had a guy strapped a torch to his quad.
I've seen somebody do that before.
Yeah.
Who have I seen do that, Chris?
Yep.
Good fun. Then I got off to bed about 11:15. Then the boys with the pulse jets tried firing them up at about midnight.
Yep.
The traffic noise kept me awake all night, and I was up at 5:30 setting up the next course.
Awesome.
And then Chris.
That's like sharing a room with Chris. That.
Yeah.
Pulse
jets. Share a room with Scott Spooner, mate.
Oh, I can imagine.
You'll be like, please spoon with me, Chris.
I don't think flashing my phone light at Spooner would make any difference like it did you.
so how did the wings go, Chris?
Wings was heaps of fun. Lots and lots of crashing. The course was amazeballs difficult in the wind. Eventually, people started nailing it, though. By the time
slow your roll there, son.
Slow my roll, Matt.
Nobody knows anything about wings. So, firstly, what was the track like? How long was the track? And what type of obstacles were on it? Other than poles, as we know.
The track started off with a power loop, which would scare the crap out of everyone, because you're literally pulling down into the dirt to try and line up for a gate. So that got canned because it was just too crazy. An Immelman and a 270. Lots and lots of gates. It's a good course, actually. It was just
How long was it? How long was the track?
It was
like?
wouldn't know, and lengthwise. It was
about 200 metres long. Pretty much okay. twice the size that you need for a mini-con course.
Right, okay. Cool.
And yeah, it was good fun. It was very challenging in the wind, though, because it was a straight crosswind for every single gate. And so every single gate, you've got to bank into it and sort of slide through it, which took some trick and a bit of learning to work out how to do it.
Are the majority of people running gyros or not?
Yeah, a few guys were. Alex wasn't, but Alex has got a maze ball.
Yeah, Alex is his own gyro. He's like,
robot man. Yeah. Cam was who came second. And those theories fly like on rails in the wind.
Yeah.
I think everyone else who wasn't was struggling a bit.
Interesting, okay.
But just thought we'll give them an idea of the gate size. Like for mini quads, it's a, 1.5 metre gate normally? For the wings, the gates are 3.6 wide and 3 metres high.
Mm. And that's still small.
Tiny.
It isn't a wing. Yeah, because you don't have that side to side control as much.
Yeah, you've got to line up way earlier and then gritting your teeth to get through it.
It must have been quite. I did see some video. It looked quite good.
Yeah, it was heaps of fun. It's interesting because the Taupo track, you could pretty much go full tits the whole way, and it was just flying rails and make sure you don't screw up and you could win it. This one was, you had to have a lightly loaded wing. And a flight controller would be perfect. Like, power had no relevance at all. I don't think anyone got much over half the whole time.
Interesting. So you had, like, slaloms in there at all, or not?
Yeah, there was a small slalom, but it was just the gates that made it killer, because every single one, you're turning out of a turn then into the gate, and it was brutal.
Yeah, nice. Brutal. Yeah, especially with wind, because it's going to blow you side to side each time. You don't have that. Okay, that's pretty cool.
It's good fun, though. Good fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting mine going.
The big difference I noticed between the wings boys and the quad boys was after a round of wings, there's somebody out with a hot glue gun.
Taupo wasn't that bad, though. Like, there was me repairing my stuff on Taupo, and that was about it.
But no, Matter was there just repairs all day.
So that's pretty tough on the gear, then.
Yeah, she was brutal.
Do people bring like multiple wings or?
Yeah, Cam, I think you need. Yeah, Cam's pretty much got shares in Horizon Hobby now.
Sweet, so she's got like 20 of them.
Yeah. I think you want at least two wings. Ideally, you want a fast wing that can be heavier and a lightly loaded wing, and duplicates of those.
Can you not just add more weight to a wing?
Yeah, but you might as well put weight in to make it powerful, as opposed to building it with a small motor and light gear and light servos and such.
Okay, all
right. Got to say, that's the same for quads, though. You shouldn't turn up to an event with one.
Nobody does it.
I turned up with three the other day, and before it even started, I was down to one. Pro tip, don't change your gear the night before and fly one and assume the other two work. And with identical.
With one quad, you get four wing power systems. So, save your money, mate.
Yeah. Well, all you need to do then is just bring a wing and then a quad.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sweet. Done.
You realise that our wings you can actually fly on the quad class. I don't think they make it around, but yeah, but they are legal for.
Everything's going to be power tracks now.
300 meter long straights and two flags.
Is the screamer? You know that that quad with the prop on the back.
Oh.
Ah. Is that legitimate for wing? Yeah, because it's a plane, isn't it?
No, it's just dumb. Is what it is.
Oh, it's got too many. Oh, you've only got one motor. Okay.
One motor. Yeah.
Okay. So there's no requirement for four motors on mini quads.
No.
Yeah.
Seems
legit. Why don't people race tricopters?
Because they're shit.
No, tricopters. Yeah, but you've got the new generation of racing machines, and they've got like little spindly toothpicks for arms. It's going to break as much as a tricopter.
Low drag, mate. Low drag.
Yeah, but you can do the same thing. If you're going to break it, you'd almost as well break it and go faster.
Yeah, but everyone would break the servos.
No, the thing is, there's that. And there's also the yaw as well, with the because you're using a servo, it's not as quick.
Oh, it'd be debatable, mate. That'd be debatable. That yaw pretty crazy. Tricopters fly pretty amazeballs, though.
They do fly more gracefully.
Yeah.
The tricopter's
it's just more weight. I don't think you're going to get the weight down.
It's only one servo, though, and you're losing 25% less power. So there's big gains to be had.
Maybe you should try it.
Well, you should try it, mate. I'm doing wings. You can play with your toy helicopters.
Yeah. Well, apparently Gary's been messing around with the plus frame again.
Yeah, I saw that. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does look pretty cool. I still prefer the XL frame, but that's just personal preference, I think. Yeah. Maximum hype.
Welcome back, 2010.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, apparently they accelerate super quick, but they don't handle as well.
Oh, okay.
That's the word on the street at the moment. Sean Taylor's been testing them along with Brian Morris, and they have said that they accelerate like stink, but they don't handle particularly well.
Wonder why that is.
Well, I did read there was something to do with two motors per orientation. So you have two motors for roll, two motors for pitch, as opposed to on a plus where you've only got one doing one direction. But something like that, I don't know. With some bro physics.
That sounds like bro physics, yeah.
it made sense when I was reading it. I'm not going to pretend I fully understood everything, but it was like, yeah, it kind of seems bro science-y, so I'll go with that. But yeah, I did. There are some threads on the intertubes talking about just inherently more stable when you've got it in a X or a H or a XL format as opposed to a plus. I don't know. It's because of the canter. It's because of the canter rotating motors, all that kind of shit and torque and blah blah blah.
Yep. The loop time, mate. It's all about the loop time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's basically a plane anyway, so I don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
A little lift and drag, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look like bee wings, mate, from Star Wars. That's what they look like.
Sweet. All right. Well, yeah. I don't have anything else. Has anybody else got anything else?
I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm all good.
Sweet. Well, thanks for coming on, mate. It's been great to have you on.
It's been a
quite a long episode, actually. It's been an hour and 7 minutes. That's pretty good.
We can't have all the crap. We'll get down to about 15.
And thank you, Chris, for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have you on with your beard face.
Hey, thanks, mate. It's good to be here.
Yeah. No, it's always appreciated when you come on. Appreciate you being here. We'll leave it at that. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Don't forget, we'll be back with episode 8. Seriously? Seriously? On my outro?
All right. Commencing countdown. All right. Engines on.
We'll be back for episode 8 with... I'm going to try and get somebody else on, actually. I might get Steve FPB on. We'll see. I've got some ideas.
Anyone else?
I know lots of people, but lots of people don't like me, so it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to get people on.
Sucks to be you.
Well, sucks to be you more, I think. But anyway,
at least I can grow a beard.
Well, I can grow it. I just grow multiple beards. It's just not one uniformed beard. It's just like multiple beards. So that technically, that's better. That's more beards, more loop time, more beards. Seems legit.
It checks out, mate. The math checks out.
Bro beards. Beard science. Anyway, enough waffle. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back for the next episode sometime. Thanks again. See ya.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.